Welcome to the Entrepreneur Bite Podcast, where we discuss all things related to business, startup, and everything associated with that. This is your host, Sarah Peel. This is episode 17, which I can't believe. And we are going to talk about something that I'm sure is on a lot of people's mind, which is Sears. So, if you've been following, I don't know if everyone is like me, but I'm a bit of a business nerd. I've been doing a lot of research on businesses that have gone belly up, so businesses that have been able to turn around, and I'm just intrigued by that. Hence why I have this podcast and why I'm someone who is very much wanting to get back into running a business. So I want to talk a little bit about Sears and where I personally think they went wrong and why they are unfortunately failing. So I am recording this episode actually about a week before this is going to go live. So at this point, Sears has not decided or announced if they're going to file bankruptcy. They do have, I believe on the 15th, they do have a humongous debt due, which seems unlikely they're going to be able to pay. The CEO, current CEO for Sears Holdings Company, is Eddie Lampert, and he has at least is rumored he has announced that he has no desire to put any more of his own personal money or hedge fund money back into the company, which is failing miserably at this point. And there's been a lot of talk about some of their debt holders. A lot of it is big banks such as Wells Fargo and Bank of America are two examples, trying to pressure them into filing Chapter 7 bankruptcy. While he is wanting Chapter 11 for the company to reorganize. So that has remained to be seen. But I do want to talk a little bit about Sears here. So before I get started, I do want to remind you, if you are a fan of this podcast and you want to continue to show your support, please, please don't forget to subscribe. Depending on what platform you're listening, you should see the option to subscribe. There's a couple different monthly ranges. Eventually, I would like to be able to start having some kind of little Q&A with some of my subscribers, as well as a shout out to those who decide to fund this. This is truly a passion project of mine at this point. It's something I really believe in and love, and it's an outlet for me to talk my business-mindedness out without bothering everyone that I personally know in real life. So it's a good outlet for me, something that I truly love, as well as giving me a taste and a sense of having my own kind of radio show. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. Okay, so back to the topic of Sears. If you are aware of this and know, for the past probably almost 10 years, if not 10 years at this point, Sears has pretty much not turned a profit, which means every money and cent and dime they have earned in terms of sales, even including the holiday season, which we are quickly approaching, they all have fallen short of them reaching profit, meaning it's basically just enough to barely get them by. If you remember, back in the early 2000s, Sears was hurting. Back in the early 90s, they stopped publishing their catalog due to saying it was too expensive and not enough people were using it. And after that, everything started kind of go downhill for them. At the time, Sears was still its own company, the Sears Roebuck company. And at the time, Kmart was its own company. Then those two decided, and SEC, for whatever reason, which is beyond my comprehension on why they would allow two failing companies to join forces together. It seemed, you know, like a really bad judgment call on them. For that, Kmart essentially bought out Sears, which I know a lot of people are thrown off by, since it's called Sears Holding Corporation currently and has been since the two merge. But it was technically actually Kmart who made the purchase. You can actually Google this if you do not believe me, but it is a very well-known fact. It was Kmart who bought Sears out, and then they renamed it to the Sears Holding Corporation. After that time, you know, both companies were struggling. They weren't struggling as bad as they have in the past 10 years or so, but they were still struggling. It wasn't easy. A lot of Kmart stores were closed. A lot of Sears stores at that time, they weren't as many closing as Kmart, but it was still struggling. You know, Sears put a lot of focus on their well-known brands such as Craftsman and Kenmore, as well as kind of shifting the focus of being a, you know, a really good spot department store for people to go and get everything they needed, from clothing to appliances to tools to being a destination for Christmas shopping, even, or any kind of holiday shopping, birthday shopping. You know, at the point, they used to have a lot of like store within the store concepts, which are actually oddly starting to make a comeback, which I'll kind of get in touch into a little bit later in this episode, actually. But they had like photo studios, they had jewelry counters, like elaborate jewelry counters, they had like watch stores, they had Miracle Ear at one point, they had eye doctor offices, tons of things like that. I mean, they were truly a destination, and at one point Sears was probably one of the biggest companies in America. Is definitely very much an iconic American brand. They even expanded into places such as Canada, which is very interesting when you think about how it kind of grew and became this humongous corporation with a really wide reach beyond built-in. And you think about the company actually originally started as a catalog. That was a whole concept. Fast forward it until probably around 2010, I would say, they started failing miserably. They started closing stores, they couldn't turn a profit, and slowly some of the things that used to be associated with Sears and Kmart quickly faded. Blue light special for Kmart went away quickly. A lot of times you saw their layaway counters not being manned all the time anymore. I want to say a couple years ago, they even stopped advertising layaway around the holiday season. Which is surprising, because you think that would be a great way to market, since a lot of people, it's a good way for them to be able to buy their gifts and not have to pay for it all in one large chunk. Like I said, photo studios closed. Miracle Ear has not been a part of Sears in a very long time. I know the one which the Sears is actually currently closing where I live, which is very sad. I actually went there the other day from when I recorded this. And the Miracle Ear has been shut down, I want to say, maybe 4 or 5 years now, which is crazy to think about. Ever since I've been here, which has been 13 years, they've never had a photo studio. I think the eyeglasses office has been closed for a long time. They've been a very old, ragged-looking store. About 2 years ago, our local Kmart even closed, which is not surprising because ever since I've been here, the Kmart here was, I will say, terrible, which is odd because where I used to live, when I used to live in the Denver area, the Kmart we went to back then, which it was still the 90s, so this was pre-merger between Kmart and Sears, so I can't really say, you know, if this was the reason why Kmart wasn't that bad. But at the time, Kmart was so different than what it is today. It was a very popular space for my family to go shopping. It was a great store. They were very active. They had a restaurant. They had their jewelry counter. It was a nice store at that time. So, you know, it's kind of interesting seeing how over time things change. I mean, I was in fact talking to my sister the other day, and we were talking about, you know, I couldn't really remember even from the mid-90s and up us ever really shopping very much at places like Sears. You know, I had never seen it as really kind of a destination place. You know, we went shopping more or less to Mervyn's and Montgomery Ward, which I know both are now unfortunately are defunct and have been defunct for a very long time at this point. But with that being said, you know, I don't really remember Sears being that much of like a destination to go shopping at. You know, it wasn't like Kmart was for us, or even now how Target or Walmart is for us, or other places, other department stores. You know, it was there, and I think probably the most common times we've ever been there was when we've had to buy washing machines and dryers, which is great, which is another reason why I'm very sad to see them go, because I do think they were a great source for that, because they would deliver and they would set up. I'm not so sure if family companies still do that, unfortunately, so it's a shame to think that's going away. But you know, I feel like for the past probably about 20 years, Sears has really put a focus on their home goods side, whether that is appliances to tools, and they just kind of seem to like slip down the list of, oh, you know, you can get some really cute clothes at Sears. You know, you didn't really ever hear much of that, unfortunately. Now, I will say I have bought and seen some nice things at Sears before. More so in the past than today, I would say. The past few times I've been to Sears, it's been quite boring and, in my opinion, expensive for what they're selling, and they don't really have very many cute functioning options. And this was even before they announced my current location closing. So it's sad. And I felt that way about Kmart as well before shopping for Kmart clothes. Which, looking back, I think that's probably a sign, you know, hey, you know, if you're seeing your store kind of going downhill and what they're selling and things along those lines, it's probably a good indication that your location is going to be closing soon. So, tips from Sarah on that. But like I was saying, you know, they've struggled. You know, a lot of their stores within the stores have closed down. The prices seem to have gone up. They seem to kind of lose their special celebrity brand deal. I mean, at one point, Kmart was the place to get Martha Stewart anything. And Martha Stewart is kind of partnered with other company. I believe it's even I've seen her stuff even now at JCPenney of all places, which was her department store that seems to be turning things around. So it's possible for department store to turn things around. But for whatever reason, Sears just has not had the good luck. So where did they go wrong? So I wanted to kind of touch on this. One, I think, is the fact that they gave up catalogs. This was pre-Amazon. This was pre before everybody had internet, tablets, cell phones, whatever. You know, internet was in its infancy at this time. Very new, very expensive, and not many people on it. And Sears gave up the catalogs. Now, I know a lot of people will say, oh, catalogs are so last century. And that nobody uses them anymore. And I actually have to disagree. I think, you know, yeah, you shouldn't probably put your entire focus in a catalog, but you know what? A catalog is a great tool. I know for myself, like if I'm bored and I'm not doing anything and I don't have anything important, if I have a catalog laying around, I'll pick up that catalog and I'll flip through it. Sometimes you can see things, you're like, oh my gosh, I really like that. I'm going to get this that you would never know was being sold at that place, even if you have to order online. If you didn't look through that catalog, catalog is a great way to kind of market your brand and your items in a way where it's not obvious in your face marketing, but kind of like a casual way to market and kind of like casually get people to be willing to buy from you. You know, I think a lot of people don't throw away catalogs. You know, I've seen a lot of people talking about, you know, going through catalogs, flipping through them, keeping them, because they are kind of a rarer thing. Even I do feel like that maybe we're starting to see catalogs make a slight comeback. A great example of this would be Hamilton Books. I'm a huge fan of them. And their business model is basically catalogs. They do have a website, and I do order from the website, not through the catalogs. But their catalogs is a great way for me to flip through them, see what they're selling, get taste of what they're selling, you know, maybe mark it down. And then I can go on a website and look it up and browse even more. It's a great tool. It's a great way to kind of get people who would be normally maybe passer buyers to actually be interested in what you're selling. So, especially now with the fact that the catalog can work in conjunction with your website, it's a good tool. I think a lot of online retailers should be focusing on that because it's like it's a great way, especially if they get on their PR list. Maybe you've ordered from them previously, you know, send it out. You might be impressed by seeing how many people will be willing and receptive to looking through the catalogs to know, you know, hey, I kind of want this item, you know. Besides that, another thing is shifting their focus to tools and appliances. You know, at this time, a lot of big cities started having Lowe's and Home Depots. You know, even medium-sized cities. I mean, it's not just a big city, but you know, they really started putting a focus on it. And you know, you know, when I think of Sears, I do think of like washers and dryers, which I will say I don't really associate that so much with like Lowe's or Home Depot or even Best Buy. So, you know, I will say Sears was good in kind of getting their brand associated with that. But when they put all their focus onto that, I mean, I remember looking at their Sunday ads, even in the early 2000s, and they're like, I would say more than half their Sunday flyers would be tools and appliances. And I don't know. I just feel like that they kind of, you know, when they did that, they kind of lost their once department store status. You know, I have a very weird kind of association with statuses for department stores. You know, when I think of department stores, I think of like a destination place to shop. It's a shop you can go and buy all types of nice things. You know, yes, they might be a little more pricey than other places, but you know, you go there for the experience and the nice customer service. You know, they're nice clean stores. They sell some really nice quality things that you can't get elsewhere. And I feel like Sears let that status go pre Kmart merger, but especially after the Kmart merger. I feel like when Kmart brought them up, Kmart was like, okay, you know what, Sears? We can't both kind of be a destination for this. And at my point, at that time, you know, I never considered Kmart a department store. I mean, technically, yes, but I always saw them more as like a mass discount store. And I still, in my mind, in my old age, consider them that instead of a department store. But I know a lot of people do technically say they're a department store. But I feel like they kind of told Sears they need to focus on this element and this element alone. And Sears went with it. And I really feel like it hurt them, you know? And I know they kind of try to have a couple different celebrity brands associated with them to see if they can increase, but you know, while that may work for kids' toys, which I feel like most of today, kids' toys are all related to TV shows, movies, celebrities. I will say I don't think it's got the same appeal for fashion. You know, and they had a lot of brands that weren't really unique to them. You know, there was nothing that made them special. You know, like. Before you think of, like, when I was a kid, I thought, oh my gosh, Macy's was the bee's knees. It was, you know, a really fancy department store. It was nice. You know, I think the same of Barney's, Bloomingdale's, all these brands, which, of course, you know, I will. Macy's is a whole different topic for a later episode if you're interested in hearing my analysis of these department stores. But. You know, they let that go and they lost interest. You know, they let them slip off the radar for people. People didn't bother to think, you know, when I have to go and buy a nice gift, you know, Sears is the place. You know, they didn't put focus on houseware such as dishes, you know, home electronics, bedding, furniture. You know, they just didn't put very much effort into that anymore. It's always focused on tools and appliances. And I know the maybe part of the appeal was that was, oh, well, usually those things cost more money up front. So you're going to earn more money up front. But they weren't thinking, you know, people aren't going to have to buy appliances and tools as often as they're going to have to buy bedding, clothes, dishes, towels, things along those lines. So why on earth are you going to focus on that solely instead of what's going to keep your customers return? And the other thing is they stopped advertising things such as Kidvantage. I don't think they've had that in a long time. They've stopped advertising their warranties and their services and things that they were known for at Far Point. You know, they really kind of hunkered down just on tools and appliances. And that really hurt them because, you know, no one's going to think, oh my gosh. You know, I'm gonna go and look at appliances just for the heck of it. You know, people are usually gonna go and look at them because they need it, not because they think it's fun. Versus going shopping and browsing for clothes because you're like, ooh, I like clothes. I'm gonna see what they have. Which was completely good along with the fact that they just kind of seemed to lose interest in that element of fashion and all that. So I think that's another thing they went wrong. I remember about 10 years ago, I remember going to my local Sears and I saw they were actually selling laundry detergent, which I think only some sell it once, but that was more than enough to be like, oh wow, they really shifted their focus from being a department store as what I knew department stores as a kid to being just another mass discount chain. You know, yeah, they didn't sell food, they didn't sell snacks, that's what Kmart did. But really, they were at that point, they were just another arm of Kmart, just a different brand name. And that was really shocking, you know? And I think that was an area they really kind of slumped into and failed. And then when they did try to revive some of the things back, such as for Kmart, the blue light deals, Sears, you know, try to get some celebrity designers on board, you know? At that point, it was too late because nobody associated Sears any longer with being the destination for things such as fashion. And that's a shame, you know. Sears didn't—they didn't think that through when they either before the Kmart merger or during the Kmart merger, or even after, they didn't think about how that was actually going to negatively affect their image. And I think this kind of goes along with the theme of catalog. You know, at least if they kept the catalog. Even if they kept it maybe cataloged twice a year, once a year, you know, or had smaller catalogs, maybe they mailed them out more frequently, smaller, you know, then maybe it would remind people, you know, they sell more than just tools and appliances. You know, that might have helped them kind of keep that image up a little bit longer than they did. And I really think that hurt them. Another thing is prices, you know. I know for a while Sears kind of was went cheaper, and they were kind of like a discount chain, which, like I said, which isn't bad. You know, that was enjoyable enough to a certain degree. But then I feel like at some point when they realized they were sinking, they started putting their prices up. Earlier this summer, which was before they announced my location was closing, I actually went to look for a nightgown. And they had a very small selection. It was shocking how small the selection was. And the prices, they were like $40 for even a nightgown that wasn't even that cute. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I would pay $40 for a nightgown at a place like Victoria's Secret, Belk's, which is a southern regional department store, or Macy's, depending on the quality at Macy's. Like I said, Macy's is a whole different subject and different episode to talk about, maybe if you want me to continue this. But, you know, not Sears. I wouldn't associate a $40 nightgown with Sears. That was just the dumbest decision they've done, to increase the prices to try to help save themselves. You know, and then comes issue with Eddie Lampert, which I know a lot of people hate him. They say he's running the business into the ground. He's doing them a disservice. He's doing terrible. And, you know, I mean, I guess to a certain degree, I can see where people feel that way and where that comes from. But at the same time, it's almost kind of like, really, you're gonna blame it on him when he was brought in after they were hurting, after the merger? At that point, I think it was too late. I don't think there was much he could do to save. He did save a previous company before, which was why he was brought in to even begin with. But because they were mismanaged, both companies were mismanaged, they merged and became a humongous mass amount of stores, so more money was pouring out than coming in. At that time, it was doomed. By the time he came in, it was doomed. He put so much effort and his own money and invested his hedge fund company into it, and it just nothing was enough to prop it up. Absolutely nothing. It's a shame. It really is a shame. You know, I know a lot of times if you watch on YouTube, there is a great channel called Retail Archaeology. And this guy goes around talking about stores, and he will document a lot of stores that are going out of business. And he goes to different malls, he'll show dying malls, which is always entertaining to watch as well. And you know, he's gone through quite a few different Sears, and some Sears he's gone into more than once. And it really kind of shows you as a reminder that, you know, it's not just your Sears that may be doing bad, like it's all of them. You know, when I first moved here, I honestly thought it was just maybe my location. It was just, you know, I live in a medium-sized town, not a lot of well-off people. So I was thinking, well, maybe it was just because of the clientele and just the type of management and employees he could get. No, it's pretty much all of them have really bad flooring, very outdated registers, outdated everything. I mean, it is kind of like walking into a time warp. To give you an example of that, the old Kmart location, where in my city, which is, of course, Kmart is no longer here, the few years leading up to it closing, they had literally had parts of the tile floor where the tile was broken and embedded into the concrete that laid underneath it. Now, mind you, I want to say this, it's been closed for going on 3 years now, and it has not, the building has not even been rented out once. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the condition of it is just bad, and a lot of companies don't want to put that much money to make it better and make it nice. It's going to have to take a special brand and a special company willing to do so much to fix it up. I think that's what's going to happen to Sears too, is that they're going to have a lot of vacant building. I know his hedge fund, they are going to try buy the buildings up and rent them out. Or sell them, maybe even, but I think they're going to try to rent them out. And I'm sorry, the way that those conditions are and how outdated, I don't think they're going to have an easy time finding people willing to rent these buildings, even for a small space. You know, at this point, probably better just to raise it and build something new, because I don't see much hope for them to be able to fix it and make it acceptable for a modern day store opening. And that is a shame. Because these are nice big buildings, they could be used for a lot of great things, and they're just not being going to be used because nobody's going to want to put the time and effort into fixing it up to make it quote unquote acceptable. You know, also, I think another problem with Sears is the fact that they lost, like I said, they lost where they were going. You know, they kind of floated on, they propped themselves up in my opinion, they probably propped themselves up a lot longer than they should have. I was so shocked with how quick Toys R Us went down versus Sears, which has years and years and years of documented issues. And I realized it was propped up because Eddie Lampert, he propped up, which is now looking like he's not going to be able to do it any longer. Or he's not willing to do it any longer, which you can't blame him. I mean, obviously, it's hurting his image and his company. And it's just, at this point, what's the point? You know, their actual footprint of how many stores they have has gone down dramatically. Now, you know, a little bit on the topic of Chapter 7 and Chapter 11, bankruptcy. A lot of times people choose Chapter 11 bankruptcy hoping to kind of regroup themselves and be able to come out better and stronger. And, you know, a lot of times it's kind of the first pre-step to Chapter 7, unfortunately. And while it could be an option, I feel like in the past so many years, a lot of times companies that have filed Chapter 11, there's very few far in between that have actually come out without having filed Chapter 7 at a later day. And that really is a shame. Interestingly enough, on a flip side, companies who actually have filed Chapter 7, we're starting to see them make a comeback. Case in point, probably you've heard Toys R Us. The company or the people who own it, the creditors, they're like, you know, their assets are worth more than what they could sell it for, and they're going to try to have small imprint and maybe have stores within stores and have smaller actual store locations and see if they can modernize the concept of Toys Us and turn it into Jeffrey's Toy Box. I think it's a great idea. I do think they should have took in the other guy's pair option where he offered to buy it to try to fix it. I think he would have been able, as being someone who worked for the toy industry, I think he would have had some good insight. Maybe he can get involved with it somehow, because I think his image for it would have been a lot better than probably what the creditors can do, considering the fact that's what ran the company down from the get-go. Another good example of this is Bon-Ton. You know, amazing. I've never lived near Bon-Ton, but the fact that they went under and now they're starting to come back with new owners. Circuit City is another one. KB Toys. So as you can see, while Chapter 7 used to be kind of a last chance closing chapter, kind of like the final nail in the coffin, it doesn't seem to be that so much anymore, actually. It's kind of interesting to see that. You know, and I think with the help of nostalgia and people wanting that nostalgic experience, I think we're starting to see things make a comeback that went away. And I'm hoping that maybe Sears will be able to find a way to make that work for them, which I've noticed they've been trying to have like some, you know, kind of throwback signs, which are really cute in my opinion. Of course, cute doesn't always save or help, but I do think it's interesting. That they're trying. So, you know, even if they do end up ultimately filing for Chapter 7, maybe they'll be able to pull out of this, much like some of these other stores have. But the question will remain to be seen at this point. So I want to know, what do you think Sears did wrong, and Kmart, for that matter of fact? Why do you think they are failing? I want your thoughts and opinions. As always, you can tweet me on Twitter at MVR00 or email me at bizblazes@gmail.com. I would love to hear your thoughts and opinions, as well as just, you know, give me feedback on the show. Is that a topic you want me to talk about? Is there anything along those lines? I would love to hear. So until next time, I'll catch you later.